Hello, and welcome to your GCSE Economics Study Podcast. I'm here to help you master one of the most important topics in the OCR specification, measures of economic performance. Whether you're revising for your exam or just trying to get your head around GDP, inflation, and unemployment, you're in exactly the right place. Today, we're going to break down the three key indicators that economists and governments use to judge how well an economy is performing. These aren't just abstract numbers, they affect real people's lives every single day. By the end of this podcast, you'll understand how these measures are calculated, why they matter, and most importantly, how to answer exam questions about them with confidence. So grab a pen and paper if you can, and let's dive into the world of economic performance measures. Let's start with the big one, gross domestic product, or GDP. This is the total value of all goods and services produced in a country over a specific time period, usually a year. Think of it as the economy's report card. It tells us whether the economy is growing or shrinking. Now, here's what candidates often miss in exams. There are three different ways to calculate GDP, and they should all give you the same answer. First, the output method, that's adding up the value of everything produced. Second, the income method, that's wages, plus profits, plus rent, plus interest. And third, the expenditure method, which uses the formula C plus I plus G plus X minus M, that's consumption, investment, government spending, and net exports. But here's the crucial distinction you must make in your exam answers. The difference between real GDP and nominal GDP. Nominal GDP is just the raw figure in pounds. Real GDP is adjusted for inflation, which means it shows you the true growth in output, not just price increases. Examiners love testing this. If you see data showing GDP growth of 5%, but inflation is 3%, the real growth is only 2%. Moving on to inflation, this is the sustained rise in the general price level over time. Notice I said sustained in general. A one-off price increase in petrol isn't inflation, and neither is just one product getting more expensive. The Consumer Price Index, or CPI, is how we measure inflation in the UK. The Office for National Statistics tracks the prices of over 700 goods and services in a typical household basket. They compare this basket's cost to a base year, which is set at index 100. So if the CPI is now 105, prices have risen by 5% since the base year. Here's the calculation you need to memorize. Inflation rate equals new CPI minus old CPI divided by old CPI times 100. Let me give you an example. If CPI was 102 in January and 105 in December, the inflation rate is 3 divided by 102 times 100, which gives you 2.94%. Always show you're working in the exam. And here's a trap students fall into: confusing disinflation with deflation. Disinflation means inflation is slowing down, prices are still rising, just not as quickly. Deflation means prices are actually falling. These are completely different economic situations. Now, unemployment. This measures the number of people of working age who are actively seeking work but cannot find a job. The key word there is actively seeking. If someone's not looking for work, they're economically inactive, not unemployed. In the UK, we use two main measures. The claimant count tracks people claiming unemployment benefits. It's easy to collect, but doesn't include everyone who's jobless. The labor force survey is more comprehensive. It's based on the International Labor Organization definition and includes anyone who's looked for work in the last 4 weeks. You need to know four types of unemployment for your exam. Structural unemployment, when skills don't match available jobs, often due to industry decline or automation. Frictional unemployment, people temporarily between jobs. This is actually normal and healthy. Seasonal unemployment, jobs that only exist at certain times of year, like tourism or agriculture. And cyclical unemployment caused by recession, when the whole economy contracts. Right, let's talk about how to actually answer exam questions on this topic. OCR examiners are looking for precision and application. First, definitions matter. If a question asks you to define inflation, don't just say rising prices, say a sustained increase in the general price level. That precision earns you the mark. Second, when you're analyzing consequences, use the BLT structure, because leading to therefore. For example, high unemployment increases government spending on benefits, because more people are claiming job seekers allowance, leading to higher government borrowing, therefore increasing the national debt. That's a developed chain of reasoning that examiners reward. Third, always use data from the case study. If the question gives you figures, you must reference them in your answer to get those AO2 application marks. Don't just say unemployment rose, say unemployment rose from 4.2% to 5.8%. Fourth, in evaluation questions, go beyond listing pros and cons. Think about magnitude. Which effect is bigger? Think about time lags. Which happens first? Think about priorities. Which government objective matters most in this context? And finally, watch out for these common mistakes. Don't confuse GDP with GDP per capita. Don't say unemployment costs the government money without explaining how through increased welfare payments and lost tax revenue. And don't forget that real GDP is what really matters for living standards, not nominal GDP. Okay, time to test yourself. I'll ask a question, pause for a few seconds, then give you the answer. Question one, what does GDP stand for? Gross domestic product. Question two, what's the formula for calculating inflation rate? New CPI minus old CPI divided by old CPI times 100. Question three, name two types of unemployment. Any two from structural, frictional, seasonal, or cyclical. Question four, what's the difference between real and nominal GDP? Real GDP is adjusted for inflation, nominal GDP is not. Question five, how many goods and services are in the CPI basket? Over 700. How did you do? If you got them all, brilliant. If not, go back and review those sections. Let's wrap up. Today, we've covered the three key measures of economic performance. GDP, which shows us economic growth and output, inflation, measured by the CPI, which tracks rising prices, and unemployment, which measures joblessness in the economy. Remember, these three indicators are interconnected. High inflation can lead to unemployment. Economic growth affects all three. The government has to balance these objectives, and that trade-off is something examiners love to test. For your exam, focus on precise definitions, show your calculations with clear working, use the data you're given, and build those developed chains of reasoning. And always, always distinguish between real and nominal GDP. You've got this. Keep practicing those exam questions, use your knowledge to analyze real economic data in the news, and you'll walk into that exam room ready to earn top marks. Thanks for listening, and good luck with your revision.